You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another wonderful episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, alongside Wayne Fritz.
Howdy.
Yes, sir. Howdy, howdy. So, today would be November 1st, 2021. And so I love November for a couple of reasons. It's my favorite Jeopardy category, months in November. I always get that right.
Yeah.
Months ending in November for 200, Alex. I got this. So that's one reason, but I think you and I were talking about another concept with the month of November. Of course, the holidays are coming in. We just cleared through Halloween. Thanksgiving is upon us. I guess I'm going to go buy some sliced turkey meat because the turkeys are sitting near Sam's, just west of Sam, in the L.A. Harbor, right there, Terminal Island out there, Long Beach, all those ships. Full of our Thanksgiving and Christmas are sitting out there. Bless you. Anywho, so I guess in that regard, if that really is true, that's one way to call this a November to remember.
Exactly.
But Wayne, tell us some good things, or tell us what that's meant to you and your crew and the folks that you work with. What is that?
Well,
what's that about?
Well, Bruce, first of all, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you brought that up. October was a record-breaking month. I'm serious, of all time, 75.
I'm still stupefied that you guys did that.
I am too. And listen, what it is, though, is everybody has a choice. You can have a November to remember. Today's the first day of November, like you said. It's kind of like when we go to school. The first day of school, I had a teacher tell me, and it's pretty famous now that a lot of them have said it, and said, everybody today sitting here in my class has an A+. Now, it's up to you whether you keep that A+ through this semester or not. And so today being November 1st, it's our personal choice whether it's going to be a December to remember or one we wish to forget. But it's up to us. We can make it a November to remember. So,
man, I love that.
And that's what we're doing. This is a National Diabetes Month. We're talking about that. But just making it a November to remember, like you said, the turkeys. Now, I saw some turkeys yesterday.
You did? Well,
they weren't in a grocery store. So, no, but I'm sick. But I did. There were some. And actually, I bought a ham Saturday, which they're hard to come by right now also. You just have to be right there at the right time to get a good turkey this year.
Yeah. So we'll be on the lookout, definitely. Yeah. I love that technique about I'm going to give everybody an A+. It's just your job to keep it. That is that's fantastic.
It's up to you what you're going to wind up with at the end of the semester. But right now, right this very moment, everybody's got an A+. And that's the true in every day of our life. You know, we wake up and we got an A+ that day. It's just, are we going to keep it? So
that's right.
It's funny. It's all our choice. I've had somebody that is a friend of mine, kind of through another friend to another friend, but they're having some struggles. Had some surgery, and it got them down pretty good. Some intestinal surgery, so I'm pretty familiar with that. But it got them down, so they're on medication, and they're just down. And it's funny when you're talking with someone like that and they'll text them, I'm really down. Is there anything you can do? I say, yeah, get over here so I can slap you upside the head. There's a lot you got to be up for. You know, it's up to you. And you can't say that like that, but it is up to. It's like the old boy said, if it is to be, it is up to me. You know, success comes in two-letter words. And it's hard to get down. It's hard when you're down. I mean, when you're down, sometimes you go further down, you know, before you ever start climbing back out of it. But, you know, changing environment, changing your friends, get away from negative people. It entails a whole lot. And it's up to you. It's always up to us. I got to tell you a story. You know me, I always like these little stories. So
yes,
I'll just be honest with you. I was going through a divorce years ago with my kid's mother. And I had my business, and my business suffered because I was, you know, the man wasn't right. I was kind of down. And, Bruce, I went into a local, what would you call them, a service club. You know, there's a lot of names for them. There's the Legion, the Moose, the Elks, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, right.
And they had a bar in there where you could get beer and stuff. There was this one that I kind of befriended, and I wasn't a guy that did all that stuff, but I'd go in there and sitting around the bar, every time you go in, it'd be the same people. And they would say, hey, Wayne, come on over and sit down. How you doing? Of course, I wasn't doing real well. I would say, well, I'm not doing real well. Well, come over here and sit down. Let me buy you a beer. You know, and then they would let you cry. They would cry with you. They would cry with you. I mean, it just bring you more down when you left. Like you go, oh, geez, I feel awful. Well, I'll tell you what, it took me a lot, but I had to change that environment. I had to get out of there. If you're going to heal and you're going to get better in your personal life to where you can do better in all your life, you sometimes have to make a drastic paradigm shift. And you got to get out of something. And it's so funny, I did, and I've been gone many, many years, but I could go back, I did for several years when I'd go back and visit. I went back in there every now and then to say hi. And Bruce, it was the same people. They didn't escape.
Wow.
And that's the way life is. You know, if they're down, they want to bring everybody down with them. So don't get involved with that. Get away from it. And when I say it may take a drastic paradigm shift. I left the area, but it was the greatest thing I ever did. For me, my kids, my career, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, get that change of pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of went through a little something, I wouldn't say like that, but I made a big transition growing up in the Houston area. And then I went from Houston to College Station to Austin. And I was in Austin for a little while, but then I moved from Austin to Laramie, Wyoming.
Wow.
And boy, howdy.
Yeah.
That was a shift. That was a paradigm shift to go from Austin, Texas to Laramie, Wyoming. And whether that would be even today, or that would even have been, it was in 1986 when this happened. And, but you know what? That made me a better person. I had to really stand on my own feet. I really had to support myself. The only thing you had was bad satellite phone crackle. There's no family there. There's no friends there. Not at first. Right, there's nobody there. You know, I mean, I was a stranger in a strange land. So you know what? We, you know, got in there, got to know the people, got to hunt.
Ooh, yes.
I was always scared that everybody there was an axe murderer because everybody there had a sausage grinder and a bandsaw in their basement.
That's too funny.
They're like, no, man, we go out in us, you know, October in bow season, we start hunting these elk and antelope with the bows. And when then you go and you get your hunting license and then you start shooting. And these people don't shoot for the fun of it, man. I mean, this is, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is winter. This is going to be your meat for the winter and the spring. And, and as luck would have it, Wayne, I drew a cow tag my first year. Whoa. I was president, which is a big deal. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's like, yes, a lot.
And so I was able to get an elk, you know, and that was but let me tell y'all, I ate every bit of that elk. It's 513 pounds. And that sounds pretty big by Texas standards, but that's just another day at the office.
Well, it is big by Texas standard, but boy, I tell you, elk means good meat.
I had a 303 British boar gun that we had confiscated from a domestic violence case, because you could keep the weapons from domestic violence calls. That's the law in Wyoming back then. So we had a whole gun case in the psychology department. So I was the only one that wasn't wearing Birkenstocks that would use those guns. But anyway, thank you for the reference there. The tie-dye shirt and the Birkenstocks, but you know, I was the token Republican and red meat eater of the whole bunch. So I, except for the professors, they kind of got it. They were kind of turned a good eye toward me. And then. God, I don't know why I'm just free associating here. So then my assessment professor found out I got that cow, and he was from Vermilion, South Dakota. I don't know if you've been there.
No.
It's actually the University of South Dakota is there. Anyway, he was from Vermilion, South Dakota. He's like, so he called me Buckshot. So 4 years. He called me Buckshot. I put that on my tests and everything. Oh gosh, fun time. But anyway, living in Wyoming was a paradigm shift, and then going from there to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh my,
paradigm shift, and then going from Raleigh to Baton Rouge was another. And then I was 2 years at a leprosy colony there, Wayne. It was the last leprosy colony in the Northern Hemisphere at Carville.
Wow, really?
Talk about a coaching career. Yeah, it was lepers and federal inmates. It was a federal prison, and it was a leprosy colony. We split them in half. Yeah, isn't that something?
That's wild. That's a couple of real wild experiences you had there.
Hey, man. So here we go. Hold on. I'm coming back. Don't you worry. But this little fellow, you could read the stuff. Where he is? There he is. A little.
Yeah. This is good. That's too cute.
And they would, and the inmates would round them up and round them up, because we had so many running around. So on the compound, can you imagine that? God's just coming after an inmate.
No. But and really,
the folks that had leprosy had bicycles, and they would be ringing their bicycles, and they would always drive into the prison side. We'd have to chase them out, you know, but ring, ring, ring. It's something else, man.
Oh my gosh.
That was a paradigm shift. And then from there to a women's prison for 6 years in Carswell. So I've done survive paradigm shifts.
Oh. Here and there. Think about it, each one of them has made a difference in your life, hasn't it? In experience and
just like the Chinese symbol, what crisis is half opportunity and half challenge. So it's not that I was in a crisis, but boy, those paradigm shifts, you kind of sort of feel that way a little bit.
But it is up to you, you know, whether it's going to be a crisis or if you're going to turn it into a challenge. You know, there's people I know that everything they wake up to is a crisis.
Or they make that challenge into a crisis.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a challenge no matter what. It's always gonna be a challenge.
Yep.
Man, there's always gonna be that every day. is a challenge to some degree, you know. I mean, but like you said, it's how you deal with it that makes a difference.
So. It makes, and sometimes you can't deal with it on your own. You know, sometimes it does. A lot of times, I think a life coach and probably is helps a lot of people by just listening. Because a lot of times we can solve our own problems if we can talk our way through them. You know, if we get someone that can ask questions, that just kind of primes the pump, so to speak, and gets us talking, we can usually solve our own challenges by talking through them. I think that's why they encourage prayer. I think that's why God always encourages prayer, because we're talking. So
yes.
Those are Wayne Fritz's words today.
No, I think that you know, when you talk about something, it definitely helps you at a minimum of what you have the opportunity to feel better. But number two, you may be able to solve the issue, or you'll know what the next step to do. I got somebody I'm seeing today, and I had to refer him to a psychiatrist. So they see the psychiatrist tomorrow at 5. Well, anyway, I don't know why I'm saying that. They see the psychiatrist tomorrow. And but I had to make that call that the coaching was kind of going to do so much. So now we're going to get the person some psychiatric help and then reevaluate the situation. But you know what? They would have never gotten psychiatric help had they not had a good rapport with myself.
Yep.
Because they were dodging that and dodging that and dodging that. I said, you know what? Will you at least make me a deal that if we can't get much past this, that you'll go see somebody? Would you do that for me? Would you? Let's make a deal. If we hit this roadblock and we stay there, will you get some help? Will you get this other kind of help? Will you do it just for me? If not for yourself, hopefully you do it for yourself. Will you do it for me?
That's funny.
And they did, and they're going. And keep you posted on that. But that is one of those rare deals where, you know.
That's funny. Sometimes people won't do something for themselves.
Yeah.
But they'll do it for somebody else.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one, because sometimes you say, well, if I'm a coach, I'm going to refer you to a therapist, or I'm going to refer you to a marriage counselor, or I'm going to refer you to a counselor, or I'm going to refer you to a psychiatrist. Now, we're 4th and 90 throwing that ball to the other end of the, you know what I'm
saying? Hey,
I got a wide receiver down there about 6'10", ready, you know, getting that ball tomorrow. So
speaking of throwing that ball, you guys threw that ball pretty good last night in the Astros game, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Took it to game 6.
Yes, sir.
And I figured you'd be out of it last night. I really did.
Yep. And I'll be there Wednesday, Wayne.
All right. That'd be good.
Folks and some clients in Houston.
Yeah.
It'll be on social media. So we'll.
Oh yeah, I'll see you.
We'll save the suspense.
It'll be a good game.
But
I thought when that game started out and that old boy in the first inning hit a grand slam, I thought, whoops, zip it up. No, man, Astros came back and said, you're not going to do this. Oh, good game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, right now we're in knee deep in football and the baseball World Series. And you see the effects of coaching. And I always bring it back to that, I guess, because I really am sensitive to that more nowadays than I used to be. Maybe that's the reason, because I'm interested in it. But, you know, there was a game yesterday. Oh, which one was this old boy? Assistant coach went over to the head coach and was slapping him on the back because they won that game. He was just so excited. It was afternoon. It was the game of the day. I can't remember who played now. I watched so many football games yesterday. But coaches patting each other, you know, just slapping right. each other on the back because, man, it was so exciting. And it's just like when you have a breakthrough. You know, everybody gets excited.
Yeah.
If you're winning, everybody gets excited. If you're winning in the challenges that you're having and you have a life coach or and you break through to the other side, like the doors break on through to the other side, it's exciting. Yeah, break on through to the other side.
Nice, man.
So it's exciting, and it's exciting for a coach just as well as it is for the person involved.
Boy, and anyway, and then people get – they want their coach, you know, like now that Louisiana State University is going to have a coaching vacancy, they are looking at Jimbo Fisher over there from Texas A&M, going to try to steal him. Oh. I mean, but that was the rumor, man. They were going to throw all that money at Jimbo Fisher and try to steal him away. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But where people also pay premium sometimes for a good coach. Golly, those guys make some good money. Man alive.
College and even high school now.
Oh, yeah.
Makes some big bucks.
Oh, yeah. Makes them. Making what the superintendent makes. Yeah.
But that's okay. They're the ones that bring in the money.
Man, there's all kinds of – you bet. It's a business. So yes, how do you feel about college kids getting reimbursed like pro players? Do you have a feeling on that? Or?
Yeah, I do. It's not a good feeling. I think we're getting out of hand. I think in college you should be focused on – actually, they need to change several things. If you're not doing well in your grades, you shouldn't be on the team. You need to excel in school, not sports. And we've turned it around, and we honor the sports fans. And it's just not right. You know, if you go back to Vince Lombardi days, and his players, Jerry, what was his name? We had several of his players in through the years that were good, solid businessmen. See, they were star Super Bowl champions under the tutelage of Vince Lombardi, but they went on from there to become good businessmen.
That's right.
And today we don't have as much of that. And we've got some big athletes that have taken and invested their money, but these guys were actually they were good businessmen. Okay, you got a Lou Holtz. You know, I mean, people like that. Help other people.
Yep. So
we're missing some of that today, and I don't think that's a good thing.
I'm so excited. I won't give too many details, but I have one of my kids is a finance major, and he secured a paid internship at a very large, very very large car dealer in the area. Actually, it's statewide. You know. I don't want to say chain, but multiple brands, multiple dealerships. And, you know, he's taken some hard finance classes this semester, surviving, I think, intermediate accounting and et cetera. And the thing I like about this experience is they're going to walk him through all phases of the car dealership, from detail to service to this to that to sales to finance, right? And then the last couple of weeks, he gets to choose which area he liked the most and then focus on those two areas. And so, man, you know, and he had to test, and it was, I think he worked harder for this than I did getting into the Justice Department. I mean, interview after interview and tests and another more interview. So, you know, and I'm so proud of him. So, But the point of that is that he's going to learn how to be a businessman. You know what I mean? He's going to learn it from a business. And you talk about old school, Wayne. I mean, good Lord, you know, you got from detailing the car, service writing, all the way to parts and service, finance, and then sales. My God, you know, what a multifaceted business, you know?
I'll tell you what, they're preparing him to run a business. That's what that'll do.
I mean, make no mistake about it. I had another young man that I knew of years ago, and he worked his way up from sales into the finance area. And I think, weren't you associated with, you knew a car dealer or somebody in Indiana or something? Okay.
Yep.
So, is that right?
Yeah. Yep. And now he has 5 dealerships.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, started with nothing.
Yeah.
So, and I'll tell you, when you go to a car dealership and you work there and you're in sales or whatever, and then when you move into finance, well, first of all, that's where the money is. Literally. But those finance guys can make a ton of money too. But that's the last stop before owning your own dealership.
All those extra warranties and undercarriage packages. Well, yeah,
they make $150,000 a year easy. So yeah, they do, because they sell you everything. Now, you know, you don't need this, but you need this. You know, now you did get this, didn't you? No? Oh, you need this. So, yeah, it's kind of like, hey, boys, or when they tell the waiters and waitresses, hey, we're heavy on the pecan pie. Push the pecan pie tonight. There's a bonus.
So, you know, I got this car during COVID, my caddy out there. And so I bought the thing at the dealership. Everybody's wearing a mask. I have the money to pay for it cash. I'm going through this. And I think I had my son with me. I had the finance son with me. And so, I was so glad for him to see this. And so we go through this thing. I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, don't you boys get some sort of a kickback or whatever if I finance a part of this car? And they're like, oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. I said, well, what's the minimum amount of money I got to finance on this car to help you boys out and get y'all some money? $7,500, sir. Let's tell you what, you take another $800-$900 off my car, I'll sign that deal right now. So it's rare that you cut a deal in the ninth inning of a ball game at a car dealership, right? But I cut that deal. Them sums of guns. You know, it was a hard inquiry on the credit, but guess what, Wayne? 31 days later,
yeah,
car was paid. Credit shoots up to 820.
Yeah.
And about $900 off the car.
Yeah. See, that's the way it is. That's the way you do it. But you've got to be bold. You got to get in there and be able to say those kinds of things.
Well, when you're sitting there ready to write a check for the purchase price, just like you, Wayne, you're a business kid. I don't know.
No.
I'm the little brother version of Wayne, y'all.
I don't think so.
I can't.
I'll tell you what, you gotta be bold. I hate to say this, but I go into a car dealership. I'm like, I'm wearing 2.6 guns and bulletproof vest.
There you go.
I'm going in for a battle. I'm sorry.
You know what? I am coming up in the world because this is the first time in our relationship since 2015, 2016 that I have the same iPhone as you. Usually, I'm one or two down.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't get a new one this time. I still got the 12.
I was thinking about you when the 13 came. I said, oh boy, man, let me see.
My buddy told me to hold off. He said, no, it's not enough change. Yeah. Wait till the next one.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. But I said, wait a minute, I'm the same as Wayne.
It's never been that way.
I'm like, my God, I'm coming up in the world, man. I got the same dog on boom.
That's what we call talk.
It only took 5 years.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars of income, and I was only took 5 years. And now
you're the hustler. You supply the boys. You supply the wife. You know, and that's why your son, the one getting in finance, isn't he the one that was buying the motorcycles with you and picking them up and selling them?
Absolutely.
All kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. And the other one does a little bit too, but yeah, he was leading the band. I mean, they had a transportation guy, they had mechanics, they had a cosmetics guy. It almost like I was running a dealership out of my third bay. Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I had to make sure they meet the kind of the riffraff outside down the street there. You know what I'm saying? My favorite characters.
Yeah. That is a lasting impression on his life, and he's going to That's why he's in fine. He knows where the money is.
Oh man, this kid. No. And you know what though? He shares that stuff with me. He shares it with his brother, and he shares his knowledge. And he also has learned an inordinate amount of stuff on YouTube. Follows, you know, some of these finance people on YouTube. Some are bad, some are good though. And really has learned a lot. So proud of him. And it's so good, man. It's such a good thing for me as I'm coming up on 60 to kind of be fresh again. You know what I mean? Kind of, you know what I'm saying? Kind of.
Yep.
Really, really get into your kids and what they're doing, you know, and just what are you doing, you know? And so that's why I got into UFC. I mean, I am the furthest specimen ever from that. But you know what? They liked it. I got into it and really immersed myself into it. And such is the same with some of these online platforms, investing platforms, et cetera. And a little bit of this cryptocurrency, not too much, but enough to you know, to say something intelligent about it. Anywho,
it's just amazing. Well, you know, you got to know a little bit. We're supposed to know a little bit about a lot. That's how we mingle, and that's how we fit in society. You're not just supposed to know about one thing.
Yeah, and I know that sometimes some people that are 50, 60, 70 aren't considered relevant anymore. You're just not.
Yeah, that's right. Get out of here.
Boy, and now I know what my grandpa was saying. Like, no, man, you know, like the human experience, you know, I'm still relevant, you know.
You better believe it. Matter of fact, that you get more relevant, I think, if people will pay attention.
You have more human experience. What was it like? Some kid's like, yeah, man, we were out there having a big turd signal. I said, turd signal? You know, when your cigarette gets red on the end, looks like a turn signal. I'm like, is that what they're saying now?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're so irrelevant. Hey, stop that.
That's right.
Turn signal.
It's funny.
Yeah. Some of these newer kids coming up 16, 17. But
you know what? My grandson just went to the homecoming last weekend. And of course, he called Pawpaw, me being Pawpaw. And
yes.
So Pawpaw, he stuttered and stammered. He said, I was going to ask you for a favor. I said, what's that, little buddy? He said, do you think I could borrow your car for homecoming? He wanted that stretch, you know. He wanted to impress this girl. And I had to say yes.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing I could, you know. I took it and had it washed and all full of gas when he picked it up. But when I was 17, my future brother-in-law, I went over to the apartment where he was with my sister. They were visiting, and they had a couple over visiting with him, his boss. Now, I'm 17, and I've got a date that night.
Uh-oh.
And I had a 1963 Volkswagen.
Okay.
So that was a piece of, you know, I mean, you get that thing, it had 100-mile-an-hour tape on it. That's what we put duct tape on the fenders, because in we called it 100-mile-an-hour tape because when you fly down the road, it looked like a bird flopping. But so this guy's name is Herb Depke. He said, so you have a date tonight? I've never met this guy. It's the first time I met him.
Okay.
So he reached in his pocket and tossed me a set of car keys. He said, why don't you take my car? He said, matter of fact, just take it for the weekend. Bring it back Sunday evening. That'll be fine. It was a 1969 Jaguar XKE red with a black convertible top.
Woo, woo.
Brand new. It was brand new.
Wow.
He gave me that for the weekend.
Well,
I didn't even want to go on a date. I wanted to sleep in that car.
Sure.
What a thing that a guy did. You know, just, I'll never forget it. It kind of touched on me about giving. You know, was part of the sermon this last weekend. But give freely. You don't give looking for things in return. I'll never forget that. Matter of fact, I spoke with him about 3 years ago, and he's well into his 80s. And I told him, I said, I just never forgot that, Herb. And he thought that was the nicest thing. That was quite a compliment to him. But he changed my life. Or he added to my life. You know, he really did. And that's kind of how we're supposed to do it. So, you know, if you don't do that, if you don't have that experience, you don't have that knowledge, you know, what do the kids today miss? I told my grandson that he brought that car back full of gas.
Okay.
It was topped off. You know, you couldn't put another drop of gas in it. So that was his thank you. That was nice.
That's nice.
It was spotless, and, you know, he thanked me. So
Pawpaw's relevant with the. That's what I'm going to do to stay relevant. So when I'm the Pawpaw, I'll have some nice, nice.
Well, they'll love you. They'll love you until they get up in their teen years, then they kind of forget who you are.
I don't know, brother. If you're still financially or whateverly engaged, I think you're going to be all right. You know.
Yeah. I asked him one time about a year or so ago. I said, "Hey, little buddy." I said, "Why don't you come up and spend the night with Pawpaw? We'll go out and have dinner and go to a movie." This was before COVID. And he said, "Oh, Pawpaw," he said, "I'd love to." But he said, "My dance card's pretty full."
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. That changed from, "Pawpaw, I'm gonna eat ice cream. I'm going to beat you eating ice cream. When I finish mine, I'm going to help you eat yours, okay?" And he never did beat me. But
well. No kidding, man. I wouldn't want to go against you on that. That's for sure.
I like him. I'm pretty good ice cream eater.
Regional vice president of ice cream.
Yeah.
But yeah. Hey, the good news is that kid must have a lot of good stuff going on.
He's straight A. I'm just like your boys. I'm real proud of my grandson.
I would have gone with
you. I'm proud of my kids too. But
I would have gone with you, Wayne. You should have called me if you got the turn down there. I'll be your second round draft pick over there, man.
Well, I told him, I said, "You want me to go get a hat? I'll show for you." He said, "No." he didn't want to go there.
How old is he now?
17. My God. Like
he was just a little, golly.
Junior over there, Nolan High, man alive.
Oh, wow. Nolan, okay. That's big leagues over there.
That's big leagues.
Big leagues.
It's worth it for him. He's
That's college prep, folks, for our viewers.
I mean, there's nothing but
really.
Yeah.
Well, man, I mean, I'm so proud of him. Just hearing that's amazing. What an amazing accomplishment that is. So he's going to set himself up for a very bright future.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like anybody else. So, you know, and his dad tells you too: the choice is yours.
It is.
Because there's a lot of people out there beating on your other shoulder wanting you to do something else. Be careful.
Yeah.
Choose wisely.
I'm a graduate of public schools. How about you? Were you a public school man?
Listen, I was a dropout of kindergarten. We had to move halfway through my kindergarten year. We moved, and where we moved to, they didn't have a kindergarten.
Wayne got his KED.
Yeah, I got my kindergarten education degree. Yeah, I'm good old public school all the way. You betcha.
That's a good one. That's good. me too. I didn't drop out, but I did finish.
I had to drop out of kindergarten because they didn't have it where I moved to. So I had to drop out of where I live, but when we moved, they didn't have kindergarten there. So I really am a kindergarten dropout. We dropped out right when we were reading a story about the trolls underneath the bridge. And it affected me my entire life. I've never been right since.
The three Billy Goats Gruff or something.
That's right.
Did I win a prize?
Yeah, you win a prize. That's right. Three Billy Goat Gruff. That's right.
Woo! Come on, man. Ask me another one.
That's too much.
Come on now.
Oh. Damn,
the king of public school readers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Public school wasn't easy when I was in it. matter of fact, I did so well in the seventh grade. I liked it so much that I went twice in the seventh grade.
Well, there you go.
That's when your parents could, that's when parents had a voice.
Yeah.
And my parents decided it was best I stay where I was. because I could get in trouble if I moved on.
Critical fail theory. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. It's funny, you know, that, and it did make a heck of a difference.
Yeah, it does.
A little embarrassing the first year, but.
You're playing some basketball.
Yeah. I was on the church basketball team.
Yeah. There we go. Issue there. All righty then, but well, that's amazing.
But you know, there's a lot of points in that, though, Bruce. You know, parents could hold you back. They could be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And my parents did it, and you know that I had a very good, successful high school time. I had, you know, it made a big difference, and a couple of the kids that I ran with the first year of seventh grade were car thieves and got in big trouble a few years later and had to go to the army or jail.
They did or you did?
No, they did.
Oh, good. Whew.
Yeah, that but see, I wasn't with them. Because when you get held back and you're in the seventh grade, people don't like to talk to you.
Ah, yeah, right.
You know, so I had to get make whole new friends underneath me. So
yeah,
it's interesting. So that was my, but today I don't know if you'd have the right to be probably child abuse holding the kid back or something.
Well, yeah, just a little complicated now.
Yeah, a little complicated. Yeah, parents, hard for a parent to be a parent, but that's because for a long time parents weren't parents.
God, but I'll tell you this, and it's never happened to me. I see it a lot in the practice over the years. It is an act of Congress. I mean, there has got to be a psychological evaluation, behavioral issues, even if the kid is sorely immature, you know, that. And so, but we didn't have, you know, private schools like we do now. We didn't have homeschool alliances and stuff like that, and consortiums that we have now. So I'm so glad we have these other methods to get around public school. Oh, another, speaking of public school, it's kind of how we do it on time, but yeah, somebody had some suicidal ideation that they were displaying on their social media. It got in the hands of the school. The parent calls me, I'm, you know, coaching the young man. I'm like, nah, you're going to have to take this kid to a psych hospital to get cleared, you know, at least for the evaluation. And as the coach, I called the psych hospital and arranged for a screening evaluation this morning. Because, you know, once the school hears about it, even if the kid said, didn't really say anything, once the school hears about it, that's it. You're going to have to, it's going to take an army to get psychologically cleared to go back to school, you know?
It's like getting turned into children's services. It's
but that's why we, you know what? We nipped that in the bud and we went to a high authority to do that screening and then let it be on their paper, let it be on their letterhead, right? And if the boy needs to be medically evaluated, he can be medically evaluated, you know what I mean? So,
yes.
But let's just, you know, and that could have been another situation. Oh, I'll take this on. And how are you, you know what I mean? And then been outside the scope of things. And then if something would have gone wrong, oh man, I don't even want to go there. So having that wisdom and discernment to make that referral. So yeah, man, that was today. It's been a busy day.
Boy, wisdom and discernment. Boy, Bruce, holy cow. That is that is so real. That just that word, you, those two words. I mean, man alive, wisdom and discernment. I mean, You've got to have that. You just, if you don't have it, don't get into coaching, please.
Well, but I mean, a lot of people have to develop that. A lot of people that are young have to develop that. I wasn't born with that by any means. And I, you know, people that are close to me would probably be throwing eggs right now at their screen. He's going to talk about wisdom and discernment. God can't even, he wears slip-on shoes. Anyway, but no, you know, but you learn that by trial and error and just, you know, not error, but trial. And
well, trial. So you want to be just like that case you talked about today. What if that had happened when you didn't have that? I mean, you could have wound up with something really bad. And so that's why, I mean, even though you do learn more along the way, you got to have some basic things.
But what's so funny, Wayne, what's so funny is when I was in Laramie, Wyoming, I'd be like, oh my gosh, we need to find a psychiatrist. There's no psychiatrist here. Oh my gosh, we got to find a physician. There's no physician here. And I'd be like, it's you.
Who?
It's you. You got to be the one to do it. It's like, oh my word. And so that was the thing about living out there in a rural state where there were only 8 psychiatrists in the entire state of Wyoming. That was it. You know, and a lot of them were sick. They didn't want to come in because they were so overwhelmed. And so we had to do that work. And alongside a general practice physician or a physician assistant or whatever. And holy cow, man. And so we just got faced with, there was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
It was you. The man in the mirror.
But I tell you what, I try to slough it off on my professors and my supervisors. Like, no, man, you're good. I'll co-sign your work.
But that's where you learn.
Man. That community mental health model, you're going to learn. Oh, you're going to learn. How are you speaking to learn? Okay, we got 3 minutes and some change here. But anyhow, we're going to make this a November to remember, Wayne. One choice at a time.
It's going to be one day at a time. It's going to be a November to remember and get after it. When do you start November? Start it today.
Today.
Don't start November on the 10th. Start it on the 1st. Yep.
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me, man. I'll roll with that. Don't start on the 10th.
I'm going to take half a dozen of them.
Started.
I love it.
Started on the first. So, well, I guess we'll wind this thing down. So, tell our listeners and viewers how they can get a hold of you, Wayne.
Well, I still have an email. If you'd be happy to hear from you at wayne_515@yahoo.com.
There you go. And folks, you can feel free to stop by our Concierge Coaches Facebook page. I know I need to update it with some of our episodes, but it's coming. Our shows are also archived on the LA Talk Radio website. That's right. You can go to latalkradio.com and find our show, Concierge Coaches Show. Wayne and me's picture pop up there and you scroll down and all the shows are there. And so you're free to get that for free. You can download the video version like this. Or you can just, if you don't like looking at us, which I can understand, but if you don't like that, you can just download the MP3 version as well. We're also on Instagram at concierge_coaches. And we are on Apple Podcasts. That's right, folks. We're on Apple Podcasts. And our team has been loading up those descriptions here. Again, I'm a little bit behind, but we do have some good descriptions loaded up there on Apple Podcast. And I also believe we're on iHeartRadio. So there's a plethora of ways to get with us. We also have an exciting guest booked for December. Can't wait to, I'll tell you a little bit about that, Wayne. She's an individual that I knew, encouraged her to get her CPC license. And now she's killing it.
What? Killing it.
And so to hear her story is just going to be as inspiration as a John Maxwell moment. I mean, it's that level. So watch for that, y'all, early December. Okay, everybody. Well, okay then. So with that, we'll bid everybody a fantastic week. Stay safe, stay blessed, and see you here next time, next Monday on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care. Be safe, everybody.
Thanks, Bruce.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.